Hi everyone, it's Kevin G, the best thing since Rails, and you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UKF Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I talked to Rebecca Witcherly, aesthetic nurse in London and Peterborough Clinics. We'll be discussing delivering safe, natural aesthetic procedures and raising awareness of the lack of regulation within the industry and the importance of finding a medical professional. Rebecca, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm really well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. How's the week going? Been busy?
Yeah, busy as usual, but it's feeling a bit grim in Peterborough today. The weather is not great, so I'm getting ready for spring.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard in the next, but from tomorrow onwards, it's actually going to be quite nice when I was checking the weather. So, fingers crossed. Rebecca, tell us a bit about yourself and how you got to where you are now.
Well, my background is predominantly orthopaedics, and I've been in the NHS, or was in the NHS, for sort of over 10 years. In varying different roles. And my last post within the NHS was as a deputy sister in orthopaedics. So a complete change really to aesthetics. But obviously with that role came a lot of responsibility and at times was quite stressful. And I just decided that I wanted a change really. It was there where I'd worked alongside a plastic and reconstructive surgeon. And I'd always had a personal interest in skincare and dermatology. So I decided to train in aesthetics, and I've been a cosmetic nurse for over 4 years now.
That's brilliant. Excellent. And the time has just flown by, as they say, when you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's very different from when you were doing before. I know we've discussed this before. There's a lot of pressure on the wards, et cetera, isn't it?
Yeah, completely pressured environment, and yeah, very different to being self-employed and managing your own time and your own group of patients rather than managing, you know, a full team. So it did take a little bit of time from working, like I said, in a big team to working solely. But yeah, I've never looked back, and it's sort of been the best decision I've ever made.
Excellent. How did you decide on the specialty of cosmetic nursing?
I think it was just the fact that I had that personal interest, really. I'd always been interested in trying different products and really looking after my own skin. And then when speaking to like the consultant plastic surgeon, he said that, he could see that I had an interest in that. And he was like, look, give it a go. And yeah, I loved it.
Are you linked to the other people in the profession basically, for any guidance that's needed at all or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it's really important to also have a solid network around you, especially if you're working solely. And I'm really lucky that I have that link with the plastic surgeon locally, and also regulators that I'm part of that I can also link up with and share stories with other local aesthetic nurses. So that's a big help to me.
Excellent. And you're qualified anyway, aren't you? You've got this background
nurse,
anyway, which
right
is really good because. My understanding is it's a bit, the qualifications vary and some people can just kind of step into it for a day or 3 days of training. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. It still remains quite unregulated as an industry. There is no current legislation that states only medical professionals can carry out these kind of treatments. Although we're very close, we're hoping that, next month things are going to start to move in the right direction. This has been, we've been trying to create this for a long, long time. So I think we're all hopeful that this will happen to improve patient safety. But at the moment there is no law or legislation. So like you said, people can go on a 3-day course or sometimes less with no medical background, such as doctor, nurse or dentist, and can inject dermal fillers and Botox. And it can be quite scary.
Yeah, no, it sounds it. What do you love most about your job?
I think I just love that I can build people's confidence, really. Build their self-esteem, help them feel more comfortable in their own skin. And that can be from really minimal tweaks and enhancements that you can really change people's lives. And I find that aspect of my job really rewarding.
Can you give us examples of that by any chance? Like a case study, someone that stands out to mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a lady that had quite a bad scar through her lip. And it meant that she had some asymmetry. that really bothered her. And when she smiled and that muscle tissue contracted, it was more obvious. So by using a little bit of dermal filler, we were able to, you know, enhance that side that she felt wasn't, didn't give her the symmetry from the other side. And the result was very natural, and it just gave her confidence back from something that you said, obviously it was for a cosmetic result, but it was something that from an injury that was out of her control. So yeah, aesthetics can be done, not just for beautification, it can be done to give people that natural confidence back if they had had a facial injury.
Have you helped people that you've known as well, personally, friends or family?
Yeah. I think especially when you start, you're encouraged to try and see family and friends, because then you naturally have that confidence around them, and you can practice some of the skills that you then can do in clinic, really. So yeah, friends and family, and they were obviously thrilled when I said I was going into aesthetics. They're like, oh, great, we can come to you.
Do you get a lot of repeat business that way? So maybe word of mouth via family, friends and other people and that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not quite the same as other industries where you probably would go on to Google and maybe search for a hairdresser or a nail technician or something. I think it is very much word of mouth. So it comes from, you know, somebody coming to see me who's had a nice result and then talking to a friend. And yeah, I'd say pretty much 99% of my custom comes from word of mouth.
Do you find that a wide range of individuals and ages are looking for treatments? Is there like a trend going on, or a certain age group, or that where it's more popular and not popular?
Yeah, I'd say I get a little bit of a varying age, but mainly between the age groups of sort of 30 to 50, being both males and females. However, I would say at the moment, I've seen a little bit of a trend of younger clients presenting to clinic. Obviously, I only treat over 18s, but it's just a hugely popular growing market. The global aesthetic market last year was valued over 63 billion. So yeah, massive. And the UK is one of the leading cosmetic consumers in Western Europe. So yeah, we are seeing more and more people seeking aesthetic treatments.
Is it more the young, do you think, from what your experiences? I mean, you know, because of all the celebrity kind of influences, media, social media and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think especially with sort of trends in, you know, in fashion and what we see on social media, and exactly like you said, really, with role models and celebrities having slightly more pronounced features, whether it be the larger lips or the more prominent features of the cheeks and contouring, you do then see some younger individuals influenced by that. But yeah, it's just about maybe, you know, having a full consultation and seeing if that's the right treatment for them.
Do any of your clients mention any particular, like, celebrities who they'd like to be like, or there's a certain thing that they've done that they're influenced by? Is there someone that pops in mind?
I think definitely there's a trend when certain channels are on for, we'll say, dating programs on telly, where a lot of girls seem to have quite large lips, and that can seem to have a flow with when that's on television. I get a lot of phone calls regarding having lip enhancements, but yeah, it will go in waves, and I think that's it. You know, at the end of the day, they're trends, and you do see waves of people approaching you for those trends that are current at the time.
Of course. And is it more, I mean, I suppose I'm being stereotypical here. Is it more the ladies rather than the men that you get more of, or is it a bit equal, or?
Yeah, I would say I predominantly see more females than males. But I have started to see in my clinic specifically a few more males coming through. I think we're all more aware of how we look, and that there is opportunities out there for us to feel a bit more confident with minimal enhancements. So I think the fact that it's more not such a taboo subject now, more people talk about it, that more people are seeking that advice, whether it be males, not just females. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And the males that do come to you, what kind of treatment do they request for usually?
Mainly in my clinic, it would be botulinum toxin, so wrinkle relaxing injections, just to soften fine lines, mainly sort of in the forehead around the eye area. and just general skin health, really, treatments.
Okay. That actually kind of leads me on to the next question, which I think that might be the answer to. But what's your most popular treatment that you offer?
Yeah, so in Peterborough for me, on the minimally invasive side, so under that umbrella term of skincare, mine would be chemical peels and medical needling. But yeah, definitely on the injectable side, it would be the wrinkle relaxing injections.
Can you take us through a bit more detail of what that involves in terms of the procedure?
So with wrinkle relaxing injections, you are, if we use the analogy of your bed, so you've got the sheets on top of your bed and then you've got the mattress. So our muscles move and create the lines over the top. So that's your sheet that's getting a little bit ruckled. And so by looking after your sheet, using good skincare, good products, ironing it, that's all your skincare, that makes the skin nice and smooth. But if that mattress is ruckled underneath, the skin is going to continually get creased on top. So by injecting botulinum toxin, we relax that muscle underneath that sheet down into the mattress. And we're saying to that mattress, keep a little bit smoother, would you? So once that mattress is nice and smooth, we can then work on skincare to complement the reduced muscle movement. So botulinum toxin works by relaxing the muscle so that the skin on top can't crease and fold at the same strength as it was previously.
Ah, right. Okay. Is it quite a complex thing to do? Do you think you need to be qualified, but is it, you know, that complex basically?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I probably use an analogy like I have. It probably sounds like it's just an injection and it's really simple. But actually, yeah, there is risk involved, and it's important that, you know, you have a sterile field to reduce risk of infection, and you are breaching the skin barrier. So it's important that, you know, clients are aware of reducing the risk of infections with aftercare, and that there can be bruising and swelling involved. So, yeah, I think it's important to be in the right hands with the right skills so that you can minimise those risks and complications. And, yeah, you need to know your anatomy and physiology. So are you injecting into the right muscle? Are you at the right depth under the skin so that you're going to create the desired result? So, yes, and again, that touches back onto why it's so important to find a medical professional that has that background of anatomy and physiology so that you do get the desired result.
Of course. What's the next most popular treatment that you do?
For me, probably again with botulinum toxin, but it's for hyperhidrosis, so for excessive sweating, and it can work by you know, reducing the glands that produce the sweat. So that would be another popular one for me, as well as dermal fillers. Yeah, dermal fillers are still very popular.
Right. And what kind of maintenance is required to continue kind of, you know, maintaining procedures and that kind of thing?
So maintenance is quite dependent, on which treatment that you have, and it can vary. However, I would say sort of for optimum results, botulinum toxin result, you're looking at sort of 3 to 6 months. Dermal fillers around the sort of 12-month period. And skincare maintenance, as long as individuals have a really solid home skincare regime that complements sort of in-clinic treatments, then you could look around the 3-month mark for having a facial in-clinic. But obviously all those are dependent really on sort of what brand you use, what the desired result would be. And, you know, that just gives, your listeners a rough guide. But the main conversation I have with clients, and I probably have this conversation, gosh, most days, is basic skincare, really, because the more you invest in your skin and the more you spend time, and it's not always expensive is effective, it's not that case, but if you invest time to actually take yourself through those solid skincare routine steps morning and night, you are going to get your skin in the best health it possibly can be. And it's then only going to enhance any in-clinic treatments that you have and give them longevity. So that's also so important for maintenance. And things that get really underrated are sleep, water intake, you know, reducing extraneous variables, smoking, sun exposure, alcohol, all of those things will help get your skin in a better health if you're aware of them.
Yeah, because diet can play a part in terms of skincare massively, isn't it?
Absolutely. Only 20% really of our what we see on our skin is topical. The rest is, you know, completely internal factors. So, water intake, diet are so important. And I've found, obviously, with the last couple of years we've had, which have been a bit of a crazy time for everyone, that obviously maintenance has gone out the window. So I wasn't able to open my clinic for some of the treatments that I do. So, lockdowns, COVID avoided, you know, a lot of clients couldn't then come for their maintenance treatments. And obviously income can change, circumstance can change. So maintenance can vary from time to time for each individual.
Of course. Specifically foods wise, is there kind of good foods that people can eat to maintain their skin?
Yeah, I think obviously things that you can get natural vitamin C and antioxidants, and you know, making sure that your sugar intake is at a reasonable amount. So people who have quite bad acne, keeping their sugar intake quite low with natural sugars rather than processed sugars and things. So yeah, there's definitely things to avoid and things to try and encourage, but it very much goes down to the individual then when you look at specific diet and nutrition.
So fruits and vegetables, give us some examples.
So blueberries, oranges, things like that with the antioxidants in are really good. Things where like you're going to get processed sugars from eating.
Do you mean like Snicker bars or stuff like that?
Well, things like that aren't going to be the best. I've never met someone who eats lots of Snickers that's got amazing skin, but you know, I'm yet to see it, but you never know. I might be surprised one day. It's just about, like anything, it's about eating a healthy, balanced diet. And I don't think anyone should avoid any food groups as such, but I think it's just moderation and looking at, having less of some and more of others. There's foods that you need more of and foods that you need less of, but yeah. Healthy balance is mainly the way.
Does like coffee and tea affect like skin and all the rest of it?
They're diuretics and the stimulants. So you wouldn't want to be having too much of them because they're not always hydrating. They can be dehydrating. But water is always going to be your best friend, and you can never really drink too much water. Your skin will always thank you for it.
And I'm guessing a big one would be, which is not good, is alcohol. Because it dehydrates you and sugars
exactly.
And all the rest of it.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of it. I love a Prosecco like anybody else. it's just moderation. You know, it's not to have it. It's just maybe having a little bit less of it or having it just as a treat because, you know, you get out of your skin what you put in. So having a balance between your, you know, what you put into your body, the more goodness you put in, the better it will show in your skin.
I mean, during the day, let's talk us through a typically balanced kind of diet for the day. So let's start with the morning. I'm going to give you some examples myself, basically. So maybe what? Scrambled eggs, avocado spread on some wholemeal toast. Yeah, I think that's nice. A good way to start the day. Yeah, yeah. With some water, orange juice or whatever. Lunchtime, we're talking about a bit of salad, protein, whatever someone might, maybe it's chicken or fish or whatever, a glass of orange juice again or whatever it might be. Evening, get something very similar, salads and all that. I suppose the other question is in terms of fish and chicken, lamb, does that play a part at all or it's okay?
Yeah, I mean, not detrimental. I think it's just, again, it's just getting sourced from all food groups. So, you know, looking at your macro breakdown between your carbohydrates, good fats, bad fats, proteins. I think it's just important to make sure you're getting sources from all of those food groups. So, I don't think there is, again, is a right or wrong, and maybe nutritionists would correct me, but I just think it's more a balance of gaining from each food group rather than missing out any of them.
No, of course. Do you think there's a lot of pressure on individuals from social media? You know, I know you've touched on it before, but have you, you know, any of your clients or just talking generally society, do you think there's a lot of pressure on everyone to kind of want to, you know, have these procedures done?
Unfortunately, yeah, I think there are a lot of pressures and social media probably is the biggest one. And I think the thing is they can just aid in providing individuals with unrealistic views of what natural is, with lots of photos now being airbrushed and filters being used. It can be really damning. I think we're lucky that there's some recent changes show that we probably are moving in the right direction, with lots of social media platforms now being more transparent when filters and enhancements have been done. But I mean, that's what social media is there for, isn't it? It's there to promote fashion. It's there to promote trends. And the clients then want to follow them. And I think the difference comes when it's not... In an aesthetic world, you're not following a trend of a new haircut. You're not following a trend of a new eyebrow shape. If you're following somebody who's had medical aesthetic procedures and you want to then recreate those, there is more risks involved. And I think it's just important to differentiate the difference between beauty treatments and aesthetic treatments. Before we came on, I was just looking at a recent study actually, and it's really interesting. It's by Save Face, who they hold a national register for accredited practitioners, and they conducted a large survey recently and found that 59% of people surveyed viewed non-surgical aesthetic procedures as akin to getting a haircut or a manicure. Now, gosh, that's quite surprising.
Not good, is it really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And obviously we've got work to do to try and change that perception, really. And, you know, that can be done through thorough consultations and making sure clients understand what this procedure involves. And like we said before, you were saying about celebrities and role models. I have had clients ask... or bring in photos of certain celebrities with aspirations to look like them. And my job is so important to sort of highlight that probably what treatments they've potentially had, and equally that photo has potentially been heavily enhanced and filtered. And it's not a completely untreated, I say in inverted commas, look. And these aesthetically sort of beautiful results that we perceive as perfection often come down to the fact that they've got very, very good facial symmetry. They've got really good profile balancing with very natural proportions, and that they have had natural rejuvenation treatments. But the fact is they've had them done in a way that's fresh, healthy, youthful, and it doesn't look artificial. So there's nothing wrong with it looking for these treatments and having a few little tweaks. And obviously, of course, so I would champion that. That's the sector I work in. But the main thing is it's for the right individual in the right hands at the right dose. And then things can look really, really natural.
Absolutely. Do you find that a lot of your clients that come to you have and it kind of links onto what you've been talking about. Do you think their understanding of the procedures and processes are not as kind of knowledgeable, basically? And a lot of the time you have to explain, actually, there's a lot more to this, and you can kind of making them understand, giving them more information, make them an informed decision. Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you can get clients present that are quite unaware of what the procedure entails. And again, that's exactly why consultation is so important. And exactly how that survey said, people can assume that there isn't as many risks or complications involved. And I always say to my clients, there is no point me telling you all the good bits without telling you the risk and, you know, risk as well. And then they can go away and make that decision based on, you know, all of the information that they need. And like you said, it's an informed decision then. But yeah, I completely agree that, yeah, a lot of people come into clinic that don't understand the full process of aesthetics. And I think sometimes that's why you find some beauty therapists embark on careers in this sector, because maybe they don't also realise the risk and complications that can be involved in some of the treatments.
Absolutely. We're just going to do a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, I mean, we've discussed a bit about the pressures of on individuals from social media. Do you think that can have an effect on their mental health?
Yeah, I think fundamentally, yes. The aesthetic and cosmetic industry, like we've been saying, really can get a little bit of a bad press for the very reasons we've just sort of highlighted. And that's why I think it's so important for individuals to seek out a medical professional, because once you have that comprehensive consultation where a full past medical history is taken, any mental health issues are usually picked up at that point, whether there's any body dysmorphia, anxiety and so forth. And by detecting any of these mental health issues early, if needed, treatment can be delayed. And on the other hand, equally, it can be treatments can be carried out if they think it will have a benefit on their mental health. It's not always a negative effect, but I think it needs to have you need to be ensuring that the client's had an adequate consultation, because you know it can help improve people's self perception of themselves, their mood, their self esteem. But it needs to be for the right individual at the right time.
Have people come to you explaining how sometimes they feel down about, you know, about the effects it's having on them at all?
Yeah, I think it would be, they sort of almost go hand in hand. The fact that a client wants to come to you because they, you know, they'd like to see some changes. They're obviously feeling like that's an area of their face where they would like to see improvement. But I think there's a spectrum, whether it's somebody that presents that, you know, has recognised it and they're okay with it and they understand the risks and benefits and want to have it done. And I always ensure that, do they want that treatment done for themselves? Is it because they want to see the difference? And that's where a really important question lies. I think if somebody comes in and they've just recently got divorced, or, you know, they're feeling quite low and they're having it done for probably a very different reason, that's where it's probably best to delay. Or if somebody falls into that bracket of, like you said, body dysmorphia, or is becoming a mental health issue rather than just something that makes them a little bit low. And that's a very fine line and important to sort of realize which side of that line your client's on before you treat.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think it's really good that you kind of, you know, talk to them a bit about why they're doing it. And it sounds like you've even asked them to kind of have a think about it, go away and come back possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important, that it's a no pressure decision and people should always have plenty of time to go away and consider exactly what they're potentially going to embark on with the treatment. And, you know, that's the gold standard, really, that it should be, you know, that no pressure environment where a client can get all the information that they need and then they can go away with all of that literature, speak to friends and family if they want to, and have time to really consider if it's what they want to do.
Which procedure do people ask the most questions about doing, and you say to them, actually, do you know what, have a little think about this before you want to do this? Which procedure would it be most likely that happens with?
I'd say probably dermal fillers. And that's because obviously once they present into clinic and you go through the risks and benefits, that's probably, in my clinic, the one that I offer probably comes with the most risks, and probably in a lot of aesthetic clinics that comes with the most risks, because if you inject that into an artery or a vessel and it occludes that area, then you're not allowing blood and oxygen to get through. So you're causing tissue necrosis, tissue death. So it needs to be done in, you know, like I said again, the right hands at the right dose, you know, the more you inject, the more risky sometimes it can get. If you don't use the right molecular filler in the right area, again, the risks are increased. So I would say once you've gone through the process and risks and benefits, dermal filler is the one where clients probably have a little more time to consider. And that fills me with confidence that they've gone home and, you know, really considered exactly what I've informed them of, really. So definitely dermal fillers would be the one that clients ask more questions about once they understand the risk.
When you just said all that, I thought, oh dear,
not for me.
I don't think I'd be doing something like that. And have you had that reaction from people? Have you had people come to you basically saying they're all enthusiastic, they're like, right, I want this done, and all, and you start talking to them about the procedures, the process, and the consequences, possible consequences, and have you had people turn around and think, actually, I don't want that done?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I know I always say this to individuals, you know, you've got to really want to have these procedures done. You've got to be really committed and be in a situation where you think, do you know what, yeah, I want to see some changes and I'm prepared to go through the risks as well as, you know, then reaping the rewards. So like I said, even with botulinum toxin, you know, you're breaching the skin, there's risks of bruising and swelling, infection. So that just, you know, is something that some people decide, actually, no, I don't want to go through that. And equally, some clients decide that, you know, I might carry on with skincare for a few more years and embark on it a bit later. So yeah, I think it's some clients do come in, and then actually once they've decided that you know there's more involved, they might not want to go ahead with it. But equally, some clients, you know, once they've gone away with all the information, they're happy that I've informed them of the risks, the benefits, and then they've said, you know what, yeah, I will feel a bit nervous, and that's fine. But I understand that I sort of in the right hands, and that, you know, I can get the desired result that I'm looking for.
So, I mean, it kind of leads me on to my next question. I kind of think I'm jumping ahead. Like, it's how important is it to So, how important do you think it is for people to seek medical advice when it comes to cosmetic treatments? And I know we've discussed a bit about that, but let's go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, very important. Like I said to you, yeah, it remains unregulated. So at the moment, you could go on Google and you could find a clinic and attend it, and it could be somebody that hasn't got a medical background. And you know, that's why I think it's important to inform your listeners and inform anyone that's looking for a medical treatment to ask the question, are you medically trained? And you know, there is places where your listeners can go to, and I can also give you the websites if you'd like, where they can actually look and find accredited practitioners in their area, such as ACE, which is Aesthetics Complications Expert, and SafeFace, which I mentioned earlier. So there is websites out there and organisations that are trying to promote accredited practitioners to try and make it safer for people who are looking for aesthetic treatments. But yeah, it is so important to find the right person and to build that rapport. So even if you do attend a clinic and you are seeing a medically trained person, you don't always build a rapport with someone straight away. And that relationship, that professional relationship, needs to be one that you can trust that individual. So finding the right medical professional is really important, and not rushing into that process. But yeah, finding someone local that you can trust. There is websites that are out there to help.
And people can read about procedures as well, can't they?
Yeah, there is so much literature online now. Yeah. And yeah, the world is your oyster, sort of, if you want to find information out now. You could even go online and watch the procedure you're going to have.
I was just going to say, on many sites.
Which sometimes is too much for some people. But yeah, it is there if you want to.
Are there any procedures that are reversible? Oh, no, let's start that one again. Have you had anyone come to you saying, can I reverse this procedure?
So personally, no. In that respect. However, I do get phone calls quite regularly of clients that have maybe had treatments with other clinics, yep, that, yep, aren't medically trained, and they're looking to maybe have those procedures, I wouldn't say always reversed, but probably having those procedures corrected, maybe, if they've not quite got the desired result they wanted from the individual they saw. And it's sort of a bit of a quick learning curve. When you've gone to somebody who's not medically trained, they soon seek someone who is medically trained. And it's a shame that sometimes it takes something going wrong or not quite going the way they planned before they're aware to actually seek someone who's medically trained. And I think it is down to education and just that lack of awareness. If they think it is akin to getting a manicure or a hairdresser, well, why wouldn't you go to a lady down the road? You know, it's just about education, really.
Yeah, of course. And I think it sounds absolutely, you know, crucial that people look into things before. And I totally understand, you know, people get excited about having something done. It's something new and different, and they're going to, and possibly they might be doing it because, you know, a celebrity has it done, which I really admire. But at the same time, you've got to think about the safety aspects. Are there any procedures which are reversible?
So, yeah, obviously with dermal fillers, if you, again, reversible, under that term reversible, yes, it is, in the fact that there's an enzyme you can inject to break the dermal filler down. So yes, you could reverse the effects by injecting the enzyme to break that down. But yeah, other than that, really, botulinum toxin, once it's injected and metabolized, it's just a matter of allowing that product to wear off if you didn't like the desired results. So really, it's only the dermal filler that if you had an emergency where, like we said before, if you did get a vascular occlusion, so if the filler did migrate into an artery or a vessel, in an emergency situation, you could dissolve that filler and reverse the effects. And equally, obviously, if it's a result where somebody's decided they don't want that enhancement, so they've decided that the trend of maybe larger lips is starting to wear off, they might then want to reverse the effects of that. Or that they've had a treatment done and they just don't like the result and then they want to change it. So, yeah, I would say dermal filler is the only one really where you can reverse the changes back to where you were.
Right. Are there any that you can't? I'm guessing there's quite a few that you can't reverse.
Yeah, like I said, botulinum toxin, once it's injected, it's injected. Skincare, obviously, once you've applied products and they've penetrated and the skin, then yes, there's you know, you can cleanse and try and to take any products off before they're absorbed too heavily. But lots of treatments really are irreversible on that side. And why it's so important to understand the full procedure before you go ahead.
We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I suppose the other thing is, you know, consultations and, you know, advice. What advice can you give to listeners who are considering cosmetic treatment or procedures?
I think the key points are pretty much, it'll be a summary of what we've said really, but don't rush into it. I think that it needs to be well considered if you're thinking about going into or having an aesthetic treatment. And as we've said, sort of find the right practitioner for you in your area. Make sure you build that rapport where you feel like you can trust them, that they should answer any questions that you have and you feel that those questions are fully answered. You should have all the risks risks and benefits explained. They should take a full past medical history, where they would pick up on any contraindications to any treatments. You should have the price explained with your expectations made aware, and if those are realistic and achievable. And that, again, it's no pressure. You shouldn't feel like you need to be booking in for a treatment. You should be able to go away with all the information and make that decision in your own time. And like I said, it's something where you need to be very sure that you want to embark on these treatments. And that's not to say that you can't have amazing results, because I have, like I said, lots of lovely clients that feel amazing after they've had these treatments, and it really does change their lives and their confidence. But it's making sure that it's the right treatment for you.
Have people come back to you saying, oh, you know what, I feel much more confident in going out now, more out and about? And do you get kind of feedback from people?
Yeah, I mean, face-to-face and in messages, I get some wonderful messages sometimes that, you know, bring tears to your eyes, really, for somebody who, it might sound insignificant to some people, but for some of my clients, they don't feel like they can leave the house without makeup, or they've had bad acne or acne scarring that we've managed to treat with really good skincare in clinic treatments. And, you know, it's been a real commitment from them and from me to make sure we get the end goal where we're trying to get them to be able to leave the house with no makeup. And once they get to that point and they're more confident in their own skin, and you know, they feel for the first time they can do something they were never able to do before, it's a real nice sense of achievement. That's what it probably makes me love my job even more, and why I want to go to work the next day and do it all again.
Brilliant. Tell us a bit about your services, where you operate, what services you provide, and that kind of thing.
So for me, and this will be very similar for London when I open soon. So that's exciting. It's nearly there in Walthamstow. So I'll start by with Peterborough first. But in Peterborough, I offer botulinum toxin, dermal fillers, chemical peels, exfoliation treatments, some pampering type facials that can be added onto some of the treatments, and medical needling. And in London, initially, I'll be offering dermal fillers, botulinum toxin, and chemical peels, and then hopefully build on that as the clientele, you know, gets slightly busier in London.
And would you be able to give an idea of pricing ranges at all, or anything like that?
Yeah, so pretty much with botulinum toxin, the prices are quite similar due to the fact it's a prescription-only medicine, so it doesn't vary particularly. So it's treated per area with botulinum toxin. So one area would be such as through the frown, another area would be sort of forehead and round the eyes would be classed as a separate area, and that starts at £180. And then with dermal fillers, it's priced per mil. And that starts for 0.5 mil around £180, and for 1 mil, £245. So that gives your listeners a bit of a rough idea of pricing and guidance. And obviously that is can depend on location and area. Prices sort of in Peterborough might be slightly on the cheaper side than they are for London-based clinics.
And will you be offering the same services in the London branch?
Yeah, I intend to have exactly the same services, but I'll just start with the three most popular, which will be the botulinum fillers and chemical peels, and then and microneedling. And then, yeah, build on that as I start to get busier.
Are there new procedures that are coming out in the future? I'm just thinking about the innovation part of the industry. Is there something new that's going to be happening with developments at the moment?
I mean, there's new machines and technology coming out all the time. Laser's huge at the moment. So laser for hair removal, for vascular lesions. The laser world is a huge market. And that's something that, you know, might be on the cards in the future. But yeah, there's so many, honestly, I couldn't even try and list them all for you. But I would say laser's the one where it's up and coming in a lot of clinics. I mean, a lot of clinics already have one, but the technology is improving all the time.
And where can people find out more information about your services? Do you have a website or social media?
Yeah, I have a website. Yep. Rebecca RW Aesthetics, rwaesthetics.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And again, I can share those links with you if your listeners would like to look.
Yeah. That'd be brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think just to kind of, you know, for people, they can contact you as well if they have any questions and
and
that kind of thing, just to give more help, you know, around everything that you do and that kind of thing. Look, Rebecca, thanks for your time. It's been really helpful. I'm sure our listeners will find it very useful as well. Is there anything else you want to say at all? Or
no, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me and thank you for listening, really. No, I've enjoyed it.
Excellent. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.